Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
All right, now to continue our discussion today, I want to read from two portions of the scriptures. The first is the book of Genesis chapter 17, just what God said to Abraham. In verse 1, he says, "Now when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly.'" Now, please notice that God said to Abraham, walk before me, not run before me, walk before me, not walk before me. Please notice that. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will establish my covenant with you. Now, the next one is 2 Peter chapter 1. I will read from verse 2. I'll read some distance down, but I will jump here and there so as to save time. It said, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Notice the word knowledge again. We'll talk about it as we go on. It said, "Grace and peace be multiplied." That implies increase. It says, "Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence." It said, "For by this he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers or experiencers," he was saying, "of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." He said, "Now," please notice this, "now for this very reason also," he said, "applying all diligence, in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge." And he kept on itemizing those things in verses 6 and 7. In verse 8, he says, "If these qualities are yours and are increasing," notice that grace and peace are multiplying. He said, "It's tied to these qualities being yours and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." He now said in verse 9, "For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins." First, let me start by explaining a principle here. The other day, my wife and I were talking at the house. You know, we're just looking at the Word of God and analyzing some things. I was talking about my life and just watching the way things are progressing. I said to her that one of the things I've realized is that, now please notice this, there is a purpose for which God gives you everything. Are you getting the point? I said, I look at my life as a preacher of the gospel. I look at the, in quotes, secular work that I do. I put many things together and I said, I've been given time and opportunity to fulfill some things which I have discovered. And this is the application, that I must be careful to use the time properly so as to produce what God wants to produce. Otherwise, I will become what the Bible calls an unprofitable servant. Are you getting my point? One of the major things you must do in life is to understand purpose. That's why Miles Monroe, I believe God gave him to this earth. Because I did not understand the meaning of the word purpose until I listened to Miles Monroe. That was many years ago. And I had many messages by Miles Monroe, and if you can lay your hands on them, get them also. You understand purpose when you listen to Miles Monroe. That is, there is a reason for you being born in the country you were born in. You don't just run anyhow, except you have a good indication from the Spirit of God that you should move. Please, I'm talking to Christians. There is a reason why God gave you a wife. There is a reason why he gave you children. I say to people all the time that I'm not sending my children to boarding house. Thank God for you that have sent your children there. I'm not saying you have committed sin, but maybe you don't have the understanding that I have. I went to boarding house. Are you getting my point? It served the purpose at that time. I said, but I have realized something. I have an assignment as a father, as a teacher of godliness and righteousness. The depth, now not as a preacher now, but as a Christian, the depth of the understanding of godliness and righteousness that I have, coupled, are you getting my point,
with the sense of responsibility and purpose that I have, tied, you know what I'm saying, to the love I have for my children, I don't have the heart to release them for 9 months in a year for a stranger to train. I don't. One, there's what the Bible calls a true shepherd, and there's a hireling. I am the true shepherd over those children. Their mother is a true shepherd over them. Every teacher and boarding house master or mistress is a hireling. They can give up easily. I can't. My wife can't. The other day, my wife went to his class. She was really angry about some things. So she went to the class and asked to see the teacher. And the teacher said, well, part of the problem is that the boy writes slowly. She felt like eating her up. Why do I have to pay school fees if he writes fast? Is that not why he's here? He's writing slowly. I pay fees for you to teach him how to write fast. I saw the proprietor, the people who own the school that my eldest son went to as a primary, in primary school. He's not in secondary school. I met him at the airport the other day. And I said, oh, how is he doing? Oh, I hope he's still doing very well. I said, oh, yes, he's doing well. Listen to this. I said, now I teach him myself. When he was in primary school, his mother used to teach him. I said, now I have taken over. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. All right? That teacher could easily give up because she's a hireling. But back at home, no. My wife is on them. Okay, you put price down. If you can write this, this is so and so time. I'm bringing an issue here. We discover the matter of purpose. And that is the reason why I cannot give them to anybody to raise for me. My prayer to God is he gives me the health, the long life, and the resources. Once he does that, I will not fail my responsibility to handle this time, the job at that time. But a lot of us who don't understand, we think that life is about how much money I can make. So the raising of children is a waste of my time. Motherhood is a ministry. I have never understood why a mother will give her job to a housemaid. Nannies, housemaids, they are supposed to assist you. They can't do your job. They can't bathe your children for you every morning. You won't notice when they have a skin rash. Are you getting my point? Look, it's your job. You should not listen. I'm digressing from my main thing, but this just to help you understand something. That each time and each thing in life has a purpose. More importantly, for our discussion now, each time in life has a purpose. The walk with God, let's get back to it, has a purpose. God doesn't, listen, you will see that when Peter was explaining, he never said anything about you being abundant in outward works. He said, if these qualities are inside you, the outward works, you will not be lacking in them. He said, you will not be unfruitful. God gave us time, a walk with him, to bring those qualities inside us. Do you get my point? Listen, this is what he does. We read 2 points just now. Genesis chapter 17. God said to Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. That is, the reason for your walk with me is to bring forth perfection in you. The reason for your walk with me or your walk before me is not to bring out fruitfulness out of your land. Please get that point. The reason for your walk before me is not to make you have children. The reason for your walk is to bring forth what in you? Perfection. Why? Because once I achieve perfection, your land will be fruitful without an effort. Once I achieve perfection in you, your wife will you will be a father of many nations. Once I achieve perfection in you, 4,000 years later, you will still be called father of faith. People will still be using you to tell stories. If I achieve perfection in you. That was why Jesus said to Martha that Mary has chosen the thing that is actually necessary, because the method for perfection is the entrance of the word of God into the heart of a man, into the heart of a woman. Once perfection is achieved, in literal terms, all other things are added unto them. Do you get the point I'm making? Every other thing is added. The mistake we make is that we read the scripture like this. Walk before me and make a lot of money. So we think the purpose of our walk with God is to become rich. No, walk before me and perfect your walk with me. The purpose of the walk is perfection. Every other thing, including becoming rich, living long, having children, becoming satisfied, is a product of the fact that I have become perfected in my walk with God. We're talking about the purpose of life. I began to explain last time that for in the life of the believers, two sessions ago, I began to explain that what God is doing is creating the vessel that will reflect the glory of God the way Jesus did, so that they also will become exact representation of his nature. I explained a principle, I need to say it again, that Jesus functioned essentially as a preacher, as a prophet. Therefore, there are certain aspects of the nature of God that you did not see, not because it was not there, but because it was not necessary, are you getting my point, to manifest. So what did he do? The Bible says that he now went to suffer on the cross so as to bring for people the forgiveness of sins, so as to shed his blood so that every negative thing in their lives could be eradicated. And once that is eradicated, they now become people that will carry the glory of God. So the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 that he is working to bring many sons to glory. So the primary thing that God is doing in our lives, we said as Christians, is perfecting us so that we can thoroughly reflect his glory. How does that happen? By becoming what? An exact representation of his nature. So the purpose for your life, listen, the first purpose of your life, all your years on the earth, is to fine-tune the character of Christ in you. You are not a true Christian if that is not your emphasis. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, people want to work for God. They came to Jesus. What must we do that we will work the works of God? Jesus said in simple terms, the work of God doesn't start outside. It starts inside. Nicodemus said, we have seen works outwardly. Jesus said, yes, I know there are works outwardly. But wait, they are a reflection of what I am inwardly. Don't focus on the outward. Focus on the inward, and all outward things will be added unto you. And Peter said it in simple terms. I need to say this. No, there are things you are saying, you start wondering whether it is necessary to say them. But when you look around, for example, it amazes me that I have to tell Christians that it is wrong to tell lies. I thought you were supposed to tell children. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. I thought you were supposed to tell children that lying is of the devil. And I'm not talking about stating facts correctly, but with wrong intentions and motives to twist things around. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because when they think that's how they tell the truth. You say, where are you coming from? I'm coming from downstairs. Don't be a fool. Anybody coming upstairs must come from downstairs. I mean, why did I not find you on the seat that I kept you, that I told you to wait for me on? I know you are coming from downstairs, but you went to go and eat. You went to go and talk to somebody that said you should not talk to, but you don't want to tell me that I'm coming from downstairs. The Lord is good. Now, so it's amazing, all right, that we have to tell Christians that. But I want to say this. That's what we read from that Peter. Peter says something. We have promises. And by those promises, we can experience that reflection of God's glory. We can experience the manifestation of divine nature. He said, but it's a promise. Somebody say promise. Promise. He said, it's a promise. And for this promise to be fulfilled in our lives, you know, God said to Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. And you will find this promise fulfilled. I'm paraphrasing now. He said, for this promise to be fulfilled, what do? You apply all diligence and you work on your inside. Are you getting my point? You apply all diligence and in your faith, which is the foundation of Christianity, you supply moral excellence. And your moral excellence knowledge, with that self-control, with that perseverance, with that godliness, with that brotherly kindness, and with that love. He said, if these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the point I'm making. That is, our first work where we apply diligence is inside. Are you getting the point I'm making? Our first work is what? Inside. Listen, I want to use this as an illustration. It will help me explain what I'm saying very, very perfectly. Let's talk about money. I said before that God doesn't look on the outward. He looks only on the inside. That was what Samuel was told by the Lord when he came to the house of Jesse to appoint a replacement for Saul. Are you getting my point? Now, that's what he was told. And we all know that. And it's a matter of fact. In fact, God himself said it through Jeremiah. He said, I, the Lord, I search the heart. I test the mind. Are you getting my point? Before I judge, before I recompense a man for the works that he's doing outside. That's in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. He said, I, the Lord, I search the heart. I test the mind. All right? Even to give to each man according to his ways. According to the results of his deeds. His ways are those things that are inside his heart. Are you getting my point? So that's a matter of fact. That's what God does. God looks inside. Now, but when we don't realize that, I'm using money as an illustration. When we say God loves a cheerful giver, what we do is that we think a cheerful giver is a man who dances when he's giving. If you can, go to our website and download the tract that I wrote titled Cheerful Giver. I explained this thing in detail there. Now, but cheerful giver is not what a man does outwardly. It's a reflection of what state his heart is in. I was thinking about it today before I came to preach this message. I realized something. Again, for the first time I was sitting from that angle. That a giver is a giver. It sounds funny, right? But listen to what I'm saying. A giver is a giver. But most people are not givers. They are actually receivers who have been told that the method to receive is to give. They are not givers, they are receivers. I don't know what I hear what I'm saying. They are giving so as to receive. The truth is that they are receivers, but they were told that to receive, give. God does not like a cheerful receiver. He loves a cheerful giver. A giver never, listen to me, I don't care what you have been taught. A giver never thinks about what he's going to get. Why? Because if he starts thinking about it, he has become a getter. He has become a receiver. His giving is no longer cheerful because his focus is on what he's going to get. But when he realizes that, no, I am supposed to give, he becomes a giver. A brother walked up to me the other day. He said, sir, I have a small problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, I noticed that anytime I do good works, apparently he's been taught recently, it makes me happy. I said, that like if I give somebody something now, I start feeling good with myself. So I said, come, do you brag about it? He said, no. Do you tell people about it? He said, no. I said, do you quote it for God in prayer when you want to pray that, God, I have done this work, therefore you will bless me? He said, no, I don't do that. I said, in that case, have fun. Go away. You have no problems. You can go. As a matter of fact, doing good works, you make a giver happy. He doesn't become happy when he receives. He doesn't have to come and testify that. You remember that time as I was giving, I was feeling bad. The other day I was watching a man on TV. He said, I don't know about you, but me, when I give a big offering, I'm worried for this. I told my wife, the reason is because he has not become a giver. He still believes that when I give, it's because I want to get. So he said, I started wondering. He said, God, is this you? Are you sure I did the right thing? I said, listen, if your focus is on to help somebody, why should you be concerned? And say, God, is it you? Like I said to you before, the widow of Zarephath did not care whether Elijah was a prophet. What she cared about was that the guy was really hungry. What should have worried her is if the man said, hey, you gave me that food, I don't chop on the young before I come here, I just chop your food on top. That's why it should make you feel bad. But if the man was hungry and he was not a prophet, you have fed a hungry man. I hope you have understood the point I'm making. That listen, what God is doing, all right, I'm giving an illustration. At what works, the man said, let me give so I can get. God said, no, I want a character of love, brotherly kindness, honor to be inside you that reflects in how you freely give. I'm walking that one into you. Do you get the point I'm making? Now, when you now see that, like I keep on saying, when you see an adult running in the afternoon, either he's chasing something or something is chasing him. What God judges is not the fact that he's running. Is he chasing something or something is chasing him? The motivation for his running. Do you get the point I'm making? What am I saying? Christianity is not the amount of time I go to church. Christianity is not the amount of money I give as offering. Christianity is first and foremost the development of Christ's character inside me. And that is the first work that God is doing. Next time I begin to talk about the method by which one gets involved with that work. No matter, listen, no matter how much good works you do on the earth as a Christian, if it is not a reflection of the transformation that has taken place in your heart, you're wasting time. Sometimes, you know, I was saying the other day that people say that they don't believe in God. They say they are just telling lies. I can tell you this as a matter of fact, what I'm about to say. I watch TV. I watch news. You see one big star makes $5 million per movie. After making a movie or two, they run over to Myanmar, Burma, to go and help flood victims. Now they're on their way to Turkey to go and help earthquake victims or whatever. They keep running all over the world. Oh, they love Somalia and Southern Sudan. I said, do you know what's chasing some of them? Emptiness. You wake up in the morning, you have all the money you can ever dream of. If you sneeze like this, money will come out of your nose. There's no drive for survival in life again. You start wondering, what is it all about? You don't know God, so you now see other people doing charity work. You run to go and join them. They always get tired after a while. Because after you've done it for a while, you see, the thing that started Red Cross is not inside you. Because the man who started it, he was trying to fulfill the purpose of God. So you do the works of Red Cross for a while, you get tired. Because you are trying to quell the voice that's crying out for God with good works. All those good works that have been done so as to quench the cry of the Spirit for God, they don't count before God. One of the things I must say, let me introduce you today so I can continue next time. I want to talk about how we get involved with the work. But one of the things I want to say clearly is how to first receive forgiveness from God. If you don't receive forgiveness, you can never effectively do anything for God. What do I mean? Many people are doing work so as to pay for the former bad deeds, bad works that they did. Hear ye the word of the Lord, they are wasting time. Their offerings are like filthy rags in the sight of God. A man was in government office. He's the reason why his locality doesn't have light. They gave them money for independent power production or local rural electrification. He worked it. He bought a house in London, two in America, one in Australia, one in Maitama in Abuja, two in his local government area he built, all of that. Then now he's no longer in government. He goes to the village, poverty everywhere because of him. Then one day he gives his life to Christ, so he has become sober. You know, when men get old, they become sober. Especially when they are out of power, they become sober. Then he now goes to church. And the pastor in the village is saying that, look, the roof, before the pastor finishes saying that it needs repairs, he will roof the whole building, build a new one. You know why? His conscience is not letting him sleep. Sometimes, let's even leave those who have not really repented, whose conscience is just their problem. Sometimes they actually, some people give their lives to Christ. And they remember all the days of their bad works. All the bad things they did. They say, they now form a ministry of trying to do the opposite of the evil that they did. Hear ye the word of the Lord, they are wasting time. Those sacrifices are not acceptable before God. Because it's a reflection that you have not accepted the forgiveness that is found in the blood of Jesus. It's an insult to God. There are those that are Christian militants. I've seen them. They fight anything that's anti-Christian with vigor. They need the name, Jeruba. Let Baal, is that how they said it to Gideon? Let Baal contend for himself. Sometimes we don't understand, we should let God contend for himself. There are people who are laboring their fight, and their problem is that they want to pay back for the evil that they did. I sinned. Therefore, let me do good works to counterbalance the effect of my sin. If you are involved in that, you are sinning continually against God. You have not yet departed from iniquity. Because you will see what he said there. That in that Colossians chapter 1, let's quickly read it again. Let me just read from verse 12. It said, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. When Jesus rose up from the Jordan after being baptized, John looked at him and called the disciples. He said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. Listen to me. Only Jesus can redeem you of your sins. I read a tract many years ago. Very interesting tract. The man said, they were discussing, he and his friends, they were chatting. So he said, what do you think is the principle of judgment? He said, now smarting. How many of us have been to court before? You've seen the image of justice, all right? You find in front of courts, judicial, all right, buildings. They always have it there. Lady Justice is blindfolded. She has a sword in one hand and a weighing balance in the other hand. So they said what God does is just like Lady Justice. You put the weighing balance there and pack all your good works on one side and pack all the evil works on the other side, and whichever one tilts the balance will decide what your fate will be. So if your good works pull the scale down, you are free. But if your bad works outweigh the good ones and it pulls your scale down, oh boy, nothing for you. You're in trouble. That's very true. It makes a lot of sense. He said there's only one problem. How do we waste sin? How can you do enough good works to outbalance your sin when you don't know the weight of the sin? For example, Saul thought, if I give a sacrifice, it's good enough, even if I don't do what I'm told. Someone said, no, to obey weighs more than to sacrifice. Are you getting my point? He said, disobedience is like the sin of witchcraft, which under the law was punishable by death. That is, if I've been disobeying God, I've heard people say it, you will give a fat offering to override the effect of your disobedience. You're fooling yourself. If I've been disobeying God, I can sacrifice 1,000 burnt offerings. I won't move heaven like Solomon did. People say that what made God shake when Solomon sacrificed was that the sacrifice was plenty. It's not true. What made God shake was that this was a king he appointed and he's obeying the laws that he set in place. And part of the law is offer sacrifices. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Because God looks at where? The heart. So no matter how much you sacrifice, God says, disobedience, forget it. I told you, Saul, go and do this. Saul did not do it. He brought fat animals, brought the fat of rams, bought everything. And someone said, this is disobedience we are talking about. This cannot be. What am I saying? The man said to his friends, the problem is that we don't know what sin weighs. Therefore, why don't we put ourselves in a place where we don't need to know the weight? Let's just go and accept forgiveness that is found only in Jesus Christ. And anybody, listen to me, anybody who claims to have believed in Jesus and is still doing good works so as to pay for his past deeds is insulting God, is saying to him, the sacrifice of Jesus is not good enough to pay for my iniquity. Did you hear what I said? Listen, there is a purpose to life. I'm talking about the purpose of life. There's a purpose for the walk with God. And that purpose, listen, is not so as to do works so as to make God happy. It's not so as to do works so as to pay for our former iniquities. It is so as to walk with God. And in that walking, we purify our hearts. We develop a Christ character. Are you getting my point? And one thing I will emphasize next time is the fact that it's increasing and it comes in association with knowledge. Are you getting my point? We develop a Christ character. And once we perfect that, God said, then blessing comes automatically. We don't jump into outward works as a way of showing God that we are with him. What God wants first is those who will be with him, then he can send them out. Many have gone out, but God didn't send them because they never took time to stay with him and know exactly what he wants them to do.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.